Session 202, October 27, 1965. The Early Sessions, Volume 5. Good evening. Rob, good evening, Seth. Seth, I would like to discuss the inner senses in connection with some of the other material that you have been given more recently. First, however, I have a suggestion for Rupert along the following lines. He is now at the point where he can greatly improve the condition of his eyes and his vision through consistent self-suggestion. The following phrase should be beneficial. I am relaxed and at ease and confident. I can see easily and well. Now, as you know, the inner senses belong to that part of human personality that is not physically materialized. At various times, I have spoken concerning the reality of what you refer to as the astral body. You must remember that over a year ago, we discussed tissue capsules. The astral body is of this nature. It is composed of electromagnetic components. It is simply the unseen self. Rob notes, Seth began discussing the inner senses in the 20th session. By the 50th session, he had gone into some detail on 9 of them, with more to come. By the 59th session, he had also included 11 basic laws of the inner universe, plus 3 properties of physical material. The 7th inner sense is expansion or contraction of the tissue capsule. In volumes 1 and 2, see the 39th, 40th, 43rd sessions, among others. Seth, this does not mean that it cannot be seen on occasion, but it cannot be perceived through use of the unaided physical senses. It is that indeed which contains the memories and experiences in codified units of the present individual. It is that part which survives physical death. It is that part which in physical life is intertwined with the physical image. The basic consciousness is never physical, yet within your system it must collect experience within the physical system, hence the physical body. But experience itself is not physical and cannot be contained within physical matter. Therefore, this experience collected within the physical field is held in codified form by this inner self or astral identity. It is only by understanding the condition between the physical and non-physical self and the communication systems that operate here that the true nature of human personality can be studied. While we are dealing now with your own species, it should be realized that all consciousness also possesses its own astral identity. The inner senses are part of this non-physical self. They allow the personality to retain its relationship with non-physical reality, permitting the material self to focus within its earthly environment. The inner senses collect information of which the conscious self may not be aware. The astral identity, of course, is aware of the communications from both the inner and outer environment. The astral identity is therefore actually a more complete representation of the whole personality, and its abilities are far-reaching. The inner ego of which we have spoken is the director of this astral identity. You should now see how this fits in with some of our older material. Rob notes, Seth began discussing the inner ego along with the inner senses, so material on it is woven through the sessions. A few recent sessions dealing with the inner ego are 94, 151, 162, 173. See volumes 3 and 4. When the physical self sleeps, the astral image may indeed wander. It always returns to the physical body during physical life. Its telepathic and clairvoyant abilities are not hampered in any way by the ego when that self sleeps. In waking hours, the communication system is more or less closed on the ego's side. But in sleep, the barriers are lifted, and knowledge from the inner self has a freer flow. Obviously, then, so-called astral projections occur frequently in the sleeping state. It also occurs, however, in the waking state, although the ego is not aware of such projection as a rule. When through training there is greater communication between the inner and outer selves, then it is possible for the ego to realize what has happened. I have told you that dreams are a continuing process, whether or not the ego sleeps or wakes, and whether or not it has or retains any knowledge of the dreaming. So also the astral self journeys often, whether the ego sleeps or wakes. I suggest a brief break and we shall continue. Rob notes, break, 9:27. Jane was dissociated as usual for a first delivery. Her eyes had remained closed. Her voice had been somewhat deeper than usual. Her pace quite even after a slow start. Jane spoke almost as though she were reading aloud, with an occasional emphasis. Jane's pace was again slow, her eyes closed, and her voice quiet when she resumed. Seth. The inner ego is, then, the eye of the astral body. The inner ego is then this inner identity. It is closely allied with the entity and connects a reality that is purely psychic, the reality of the entity, with a reality that is mainly physical, the reality of the physical self. The inner senses perceive the psychic reality and transmit messages from it. We speak of these as separate, again, only for convenience, for we have but various abilities and various aspects of a self. The divisions are arbitrary. This is very important. Now, regard the inner senses in connection with the nature of action and electromagnetic reality. For the perceptions of the inner senses are themselves action, and as such, they change both the perceiver and the thing perceived. You can see, then, that even this astral image is always in motion and never static, and its condition alters the physical self, even as the physical self acts upon the astral image. Any dream is experienced differently by these various aspects of the self. There is not one objective dream that is merely perceived in various fashions. The various levels of the self create their own dreams, which do have meanings to all layers of the personality. But you cannot think of a dream as a concrete block, that is, for example, chipped off in pieces that then apply to these imaginary levels. All of these aspects of the self are so intertwined that arbitrary distinctions must be made for you simply to explain them. Incidentally, suggestion will reach many aspects of the self, and some which are very distant from the ego, for you are setting into action psychic action, which is behind all realities. Suggestion will reach portions of the self of which the ego is entirely unfamiliar. Suggestion can indeed change experience which has already passed. It can change the individual's present reaction to the past event, and alter the original implications and meanings that were once connected with such an event. Suggestion can shape future events, because any action changes that which existed before it, and that which shall exist after it within your session. This is different, however, from cause and effect, for basically, a specific action will not give a specific effect only. Within your system, you only perceive certain actions out of an endless variety of actions. So you take these few as inevitable results of a given cause. Suggestion, then, can shape the future. Expectation enters in here particularly, of course. Suggestion can shape dreams, and the dreams themselves then operate as action. A strong dream can be a more significant psychic action than any physical experience, and it can change the course of the personality completely. The inner senses will also react to suggestion. If you therefore suggest that you become more aware of their activities, then so you shall. You are giving suggestions, whether or not you realize it, constantly. You are forming your own physical image with all of its strengths and weaknesses, whether or not you are aware of it. Suggestion, well used, with training and knowledge, will therefore allow you to alter the very cells of your body. The inner senses can be requested to operate in such a way that the ego will accept their communications. For the astral body is not some distant and alien other self, but it is even now that portion of yourself that you know but cannot see, that you feel but cannot touch. I suggest a brief break. Rob notes, break at 10:02. Jane was dissociated as usual. Her eyes had remained closed, her pace good, her voice about average. Once again, her pace was quite slow when she resumed. She sat with her hands to her eyes, and her voice was quiet. This is the 12th Dr. Instream clairvoyant test. They resume at 10:10. Seth, give us a moment. Something is turning. Narrator note. At this point, they resumed with the Dr. Instream tests and a test of Rob's, of which I've been skipping. Thus ended session 202, the early sessions, volume 5.